Do you always feel like singing? Well, we're supposed to sing praises to the Lord, but there are times when we don't much feel like it. I was thinking about that as we were singing that song. There are oftentimes things that God tells us to do, He commands us to do, and there are times when we just don't feel like doing it. And at that point, we have to make a specific choice. Am I going to depend upon how I feel? Or am I going to act in faith? Am I going to let my feelings dictate what I do? Or am I going to let my faith dictate what I'm going to do? Your life will be characterized by one or the other as you make choices to either depend on your feelings or depend on your faith. This lovely blue chair, which I found in the corner of a church building somewhere, we'll just say that this is a whole lot like depending upon and having trust in your feelings. And this is quite a low chair, some odd sort of thing. And I found that the more that you sit in it, the further you kind of sink into it. Now, this might not be a problem for some of you who are young, and I'm still young, so it's not much of a problem for me. But I'm sure you've seen your parents and grandparents try to get out of a couch that was just a little bit, there's no support there, right? And they're sunk in and just like... So we'll have a choice, and you will have a choice whether or not you're going to live your life based on your feelings, resting in your feelings or what's coming from your heart, what your mind is telling you, what your desires are. And I would say that if we don't specifically make a choice, this is how we are going to live. In fact, this is kind of how you were born living, right? Why did you scream in your crib? All of you did. I know for a fact. No. I mean, you did. Why did you do that? Well, perhaps you were uncomfortable. Perhaps there was something you wanted. Perhaps there was something you didn't like. Like, I don't want to be in here. I want to be somewhere else. Anywhere else but here. So we're kind of born into this world making choices and decisions and living our lives based on ourselves. Based on, we could say, the flesh, based on man. Now at some point, we have to make a decision, and at salvation, this is where it really begins. We have to make a decision that, you know what, there are some things that God says that perhaps don't make perfect sense to me. Perhaps they're a little uncomfortable. Perhaps the truth is not something that I, you know, fully enjoy hearing. Like when the Bible says that you're a sinner and your sin has brought to you the just punishment of God that you deserve for God to send you to hell to pay for your sins. That's, I don't know, too many people who would be like, oh, that's a comfortable truth. I kind of like that one. Can you tell me more about how bad I am and how much God's going to judge me? It's not exactly a comfortable thought. Now, it's the truth. But we have to come to a place where we hear that and then we believe that. And now we begin a life, we start a life where we are depending and resting upon our faith and living our lives based on our faith and not our feelings. However, there's too many times, and I'll be right there admitting this with you, there are too many times where I wind up living over here and resting in, depending upon me, what I want, what I think, what I perceive makes sense, what is comfortable for me, what do I feel like? I mean, why did you sit where you sat? Now, perhaps some of you thought this through. Perhaps. I doubt it. But perhaps. This is the place where I will listen and understand and not be distracted the most because I want to hear from God. That was you, right, Ethan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was me. Right. Now, I'm not degrading you, all right, for not thinking about it necessarily. But I'm just saying and making the point that it's very easy for us to get used to and fall into that style of living and that sort of living. Jeremiah chapter 17. I like when the Lord does this, and I hope he does this for you once in a while, where he makes a verse that you are familiar with, that you've heard many, many times, it makes it come alive in a new way. This is a familiar verse that the Lord kind of showed me, kind of came alive in a new and different way. Jeremiah chapter 17, of course, the familiar verse is Jeremiah 17:9, right? You could probably quote that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. And on the passage goes. Those are the verses that we're familiar with. What I didn't see before was how those verses kind of fit in with the greater context. And when I saw how they all kind of went together, there was a powerful picture that we see here, a challenge to us whether we're going to choose our feelings or our faith. If you haven't figured out, that's the title, all right? Feelings or faith. If we read the entire context of that verse, especially the verses that come prior to it, in the first part of chapter 17, we read about how God diagnoses the nation of Judah, and he's saying that their sin, their rebellion against God, is kind of etched inside of them. It's like verse 1, it's written with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond, right? Some of the harder substances, all right? And it's engraved in them. And that eventually, and you see there's a description of how they were in sin, how their children were in sin, and eventually God was going to bring judgment. And there was a response that the people could have towards this fact, this truth, that God said, I'm going to bring judgment. It's already been earned. There's no changing it. There's two choices that could be had. One was depending on what God said and just saying, all right, I submit to what God is doing. The other is to try to come up with all these different ways to prevent God's judgment from taking place. And they did all sorts of things. We won't take the time to look at it, but getting into alliances with other nations, fleeing to other places, trying to figure out how they can outlast the enemy. But God already told them they weren't going to. But they were just trying to do everything they could. Everything their minds, their hearts could devise to avoid what God said was going to happen, they were trying to do. And in verse 5, Jeremiah communicates to them this message from God. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots, by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we see very simply today in this passage, we see the curse of our heart and the blessing of faith. It's pretty simple. The outline's not going to be very complex today, but I want you to really understand and remember this truth that in your life, you are either sitting in this chair or you're sitting in this chair. You are either resting in, and that's a good picture of faith, the fact that you're placing your whole weight upon something. You're either resting in or you're having, quote-unquote, faith in your feelings, or you're resting in, you're being confident in what God has said and what God wants from your life. And you'll be living your life and making your decisions by one of those two paradigms. There really isn't option number three. There's only those two choices. So in every step that you take and every choice that you make and decision that you come to, you will have oftentimes a conflict between the two. Now, it's great when once in a while it aligns and you actually feel like doing what God wants you to do. But oftentimes, perhaps you found this to be true, oftentimes your heart is pulling one way and you know what's right is pulling the other way. What will make you comfortable is pulling you this way. What will make your life a little easier is pulling this way. And what you know God wants you to do is pulling that way. And there's a conflict, and you have to choose between the two. Feelings or faith. The first one that he talks about here in this passage is the curse of our heart. See, the nation of Judah was trusting in foreign alliances to save them. They were trusting in their own schemes and plans in order to get out of God's judgment that was coming instead of just simply submitting to the discipline of God. If you haven't figured this out, or you didn't figure this out when you were younger, some of you experienced discipline. I experienced discipline, believe it or not. I was not a perfect child. Shocking, I know. And when we would disobey, when we would act out and not do what we're supposed to, in our backyard, don't worry, it doesn't exist today, but there was a large maple tree. Karina knows exactly where this is. It's like right out the back of her backyard. It's not the same tree, so they replanted it because we killed it. One of the reasons we might have killed it is because my mom would go out to that tree and she would choose a fresh green switch. That'd be a good way to do it. Break it off. You know, the kind that are really flexible. You know, they got some hardness to it, but they're flexible. And when you swing them through the air, it goes, whew, you know, makes that sound. And she would, you know the rest, all right? If you hadn't figured this out, one of the beautiful things about using a rod like that is that if you kind of submit and don't fight, it's less painful than if you tense yourself up and go, it's going to hurt more. So they had a choice. They were either going to search for a way out, or they were going to submit to God. So they didn't like God's way. They didn't like this, the fact that the nation was going to be judged, that they were going to be taken into captivity. They didn't like that. So they decided to grit their teeth and fight it. We're going to fight it. It's not going to happen. Of course, if you read Jeremiah, you read about all the prophets who would stand up and make all these proclamations about how God was going to bless them, just make up stuff, pretty much what they were doing. And Jeremiah was one of the few who was faithfully saying, no, this is what's going to happen. You find like King Zedekiah throwing him in jail and then secretly like, oh, what's God really saying? Like he wanted to hear and kind of pretending he was trying to ride the fence both ways and it was just a mess of a situation. But they resisted. They resisted. Jeremiah said, just go. Give in. This is what God is doing. Submit to what God is doing. No, we're not going to. We're going to fight. Well, you know that God's judgment definitely or eventually came. But he says here, those that are trusting in their own comforts, their own heart, their own feelings, all their plans and schemes to get out of it. I know how we can get out of it. I know how to get free of the Babylonians. Let's do this. Instead of just submitting, those that would put their trust in man, God says here, are cursed. Do you know what a curse is? In the Bible, when that word curse is used, it means that you're bringing upon yourself affliction. You're bringing upon yourself vexation and torment. Curse literally means to be devoted to destruction. It's like the die is cast, it's set, and you're going headlong towards pain and destruction in your life. God says, the person who trusts in themselves, in man, they have set their direction, the die is cast, and they are going to experience pain and torment and affliction and destruction in their life. He said, cursed be the man. Cursed be the man. Who is cursed? Well, it is the man who his dependence is upon man. So the curse of our heart, we see something about our dependence, or the cursed man's dependence. What is his dependence? Look in verse 5. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Again, the idea of trusting in is to have your confidence in, to put your weight on, to rely upon what man says. And he says, cursed be those that trusteth in man. And then he says, and maketh flesh his arm. That's a curious statement. Does anybody not have an arm made out of flesh? We don't have any bionic implants or, you know, those kind of things. We all have an arm of flesh. So what is he talking about? What does it mean to make flesh your arm? Guys, when you want to, you never do this, right? But if you want to show off how strong you are, what do? I never need to. Everybody already knows. Well, the first thing you do is, you know, it's right here. Did you get your tickets?
Oh, my goodness.
To what? To the gun show! Of course. Some of you didn't even know that. There you go. You're going to go and annoy some people who weren't here. Get your tickets yet? Show it in your arm. Of course, you know, when you go to the gym, you get the dumbbells, which is a good name for those things. Get the dumbbells. Start working the arm. Oh, yeah. Cursed is the man who makes flesh his arm. His strength comes from himself. His direction, his dictation comes from me, from his flesh. Cursed be the man who makes flesh his arm, who trusts in the flesh. And then he said, cursed is the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. So this man, in his dependence, he trusts in man, he trusts in the flesh. And all that is indicative of this fact that he trusts in his own heart. He trusts in his own heart. What is your heart? When the Bible speaks of your heart, it's not the organ that pumps blood. It has to do with the innermost part of you. I always like this, always helps in my Bible study as I'm thinking about these things. The heart is made up of three different components. It is your mind. It is your emotions. It is your will. In other words, it's the thoughts that you think, it's the feelings that you feel, It's the desires, the things that you want to do. All of us have a heart. I know some people are like, I have a heart. No, we all have a heart. We all have our what's going on up here. Maybe even right now, there's something going on up here. That's your heart. You're talking to yourself. We all have emotions. Whether we give, you know, display to those emotions, right? There's this, I'm beginning to think more and more it's a myth that says that girls are more emotional than guys. Now, they might display more emotion than guys sometimes. But some of the most emotional people I know are men. They're not women, right? Now, it could be more of a manly emotion that we kind of erroneously call a manly emotion, you know, like anger. That's a more manly emotion. But it's emotion. So anyway, you all have emotions. And I know you all have things that you want. You have your desires. This is what I want. The problem is, that is a reality. You have it. The problem is when you allow those things, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, to dictate your life. You are placing yourself in dependence upon, you're putting your weight upon what you feel, what you think, and what you desire. And what is, Jeremiah says that's a dangerous place, right? It's a place of a curse, which means if you put yourself in this chair, you are setting the direction of your life to experience a lot of destruction. Here, the nation of Judah was blindly following their own perceptions, their own thoughts, what made sense to them, what they could bring themselves, they couldn't bring themselves to feel, you know, the feeling of our nation being destroyed. You know, it's kind of like, if I don't think about it, it'll never happen, right? Which is dumb, but we choose that method often. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm going to stick my fingers in my ear. La, 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 I don't hear any of that. All right, it's not going to happen. They were depending upon those things, what made sense to them. And of course, you know the answer to this question. Why is that such a problem? Why is it such a problem to just follow our heart? Why is that an issue? To look deep within ourselves and do what we know our heart wants to do. Why is it so dangerous? Because verse 9 is in the chapter, right? Your heart is deceitful. You know what that word deceitful means? It literally means crooked and polluted. It's crooked and polluted while it sometimes appearing not so much. It lies. Putting itself forth as something that is not true. It's deceitful and crooked and polluted. And he says, your heart is desperately wicked. Literally meaning it's incurably sick. There's a disease, there's a sickness within all of us. And there's no cure to that. There's no cure until we die, which is kind of, you know, one of the positive things about death. You can think about it. The older I get, the more positive I get on it. That'd be nice to get out from under this flesh and my own crooked and sinful desires, because it's incurably sick. Now, I'm thankful that when I got saved, God gave me a new heart. Because it was like, there's no working with the old one that's in there, right? There's no reform, right? There's no change in the old man, but he gave me a new heart. And when I depend on what he says, the reality that he paints for me, when I place my trust in that, there's at least an option to avoid the destruction of my heart. But that's the way I am, incurably sick, crooked and polluted. And then he says, who can know it? The idea here, the question of who can know it, who can understand it, who can discern it? It plays tricks on you. It plays games with you. Think about the things that people are doing today. And they're doing it because they honestly believe this will make me happy. And it's the exact opposite. The truth is the exact opposite. I mean, we can think of some obvious things, right? We say, you know, that this our heart says, well, you know, my life is going so bad, everything's so horrible and terrible, it would just be easier for me to end it. I'm just going to commit suicide. Is that the way out? Especially if you're a lost person. But even if you're a saved person, I mean, the reality, the truth of what's facing you on the other side. But our feeling says, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, nowadays, and you're going to laugh because maybe you're a little insulated from this, but people will be like, you know what? I don't feel like being a man. I feel like being a woman. That is going to make me happy. So I go and spend thousands of dollars on surgeries, thousands of dollars upon drugs, thousands of dollars trying to make myself be something because I have a feeling that that's going to make me feel better. My heart is telling me, you're going to feel better. And the saddest part, we can laugh, and I hope that you'll be very careful as you grow up in this generation, not just to look at those people and go, bunch of weirdos. Because it is weird, all right? Let's be honest. But I hope that you'll look on them with a heart of compassion, that they're chasing after something that they think will make them feel better. And it's not going to make them feel better. Look at the rate of suicide compared in that community compared to the average or the norm. It's insane, the difference. Why is that? They're tortured inside. They're looking for happiness. Their heart is telling them, go that way. And they're just going to find emptiness. So our heart is this thing that is so difficult to understand and so difficult to discern. It will just lead us around like you know, there's a hook in our nose, and just wherever that line is pulling, that's the way we'll go, and there's no sense to it. Have you ever done something like in the heat of the moment, in the emotion of the moment, and then 5 minutes later you thought, why did I do that? You were following your heart. That's why you did that. Oh, and then you want to go back and wish that you didn't, and you want it changed, and you can't. You know, it's already, what's done is done. I hope that you'll find some confession and some forgiveness and cleansing from God. But still, we have that tendency. We have that within us. Only God is the one. Of course, he lays this out in verse 10. Only God is the one who can search our heart. Only God is the one who can try us and show us what's really within. Sometimes God allows difficulties and trials to kind of unearth who we really are inside. And by the way, that's never I'm such a wonderful person. It's always the opposite. It's always the, wow, that's an ugly picture. Kind of, he shows us who we are. He also gives us, there is some hope, he also gives us his word, Hebrews 4:12, right? You know this verse. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is, the word of God, the Bible, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why being in God's word is so important, because it's only God's word that will demonstrate who you really are, shine the light on who you really are, and give you direction. As far as, am I listening to me or am I listening to God? All right? But that's who we are. And then that's our dependence. That's what we fall into trusting in. But you notice the depiction that is here in this passage. Someone who their trust is in their heart, their trust is in flesh, their trust is in man. There's a picture. He paints a picture. Do you see that in verse number 6? He shall be like a heath in the desert. Does anybody know what a heath is? H-E-A-T-H. Have you science geeks in here know what a heath is? Isabel? Dry grass, sort of. She probably has that picture that I have in my head of the West, the desert. And there's this, it's just sand, and there's this clump of grass that's sitting there. A heath is actually more like a shrub, all right? Kind of an ugly shrub. And, of course, immediately what I think of, again, because we have exposure to, the West, is those little shrubs that grow, and then because there's no water, they dry out and die, and then the wind comes along and pops them right out of the ground because there's no life, and they are what? Tumbleweeds. And they're all sticky, and they got barbs and stuff in them, and they get stuck on things, and I've seen some really interesting pictures of, you have a windstorm, and they blow them all against your house, and it's kind of like, anyway, not very fun. The only thing you can really do with them is burn them to get rid of them. Just light them on fire, burn them up. Because that's it. The person who trusts in themselves, in their flesh, in their heart, he's like a heath, a stunted shrub. And this shrub shall not see when good cometh. Because there you are, the shrub. You're baking under the sun, and you want one thing. Water. I need water. I'm dying here. This man's like the shrub who's waiting for the rain to come, and it never comes. Shall not see when good cometh. Not going to see it. This shrub, this tumbleweed, dried plant, inhabits the parched places, the verse says. You shall inhabit the parched places. The places with no water. They'll inhabit the salt land. And of course, a salt land, what kind of things grow and thrive in a land where the soil is polluted with salt? Nothing grows there. Nothing can ever grow. It's dry and destitute. And we'll be in a place that is, think about this, the last phrase of the verse, not inhabited. You know what that says to me? It's a lonely place. I know some of you might incline yourself, you're more of maybe a loner type of person. You enjoy times being alone. But as human beings, we're not made to be alone. There's an emptiness and an empty feeling of being alone. You know what I've seen? This is so sad. I've seen a lot of teenagers who they live their life trusting in their feelings, their emotions, what they think. They don't even realize what's happening. But because they're so self-centered, they're so self-focused, they are so me. They drive every single person they can possibly drive out of their life. Because nobody wants to be around that kind of person. And I see them as they're chasing after those things and chasing after those feelings, in essence, cutting themselves off from everyone else in their life. And they don't even realize that that's what's happening. And you could sit them down, and there are times I have sat them down in my office or whatever, and tried to talk to them and say, do you see what you're doing? You're chasing everyone out of your life because you're so selfish, you're so self-centered. You only do it your way. Your life is about you and no one else. And you know what? They get mad at me. They don't listen. And it's rather sad because they're like the heath. The brown, shriveled up shrub in the desert, longing for water. Water's never coming. In a place of a salt land, nothing's going to grow. A place not inhabited. They're all alone. Now, is that what you want in your life? Oh, that's the life I want to live. No. None of us want that kind of life. But it's so easy to live that kind of life because that's what's natural. So that's the curse of our heart. Look number two, and I'll try to make this a little bit quicker, all right? The blessing of faith. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. See, the blessing of faith. The idea of blessed, whenever we hear that term, blessed, I'm not sure why we pronounce it blessed. It really is just blessed. But it does kind of sound weird if you go to Matthew 5 and say, blessed is the man. I don't know, that doesn't sound all that weird. Maybe we should start doing that. Because that makes it a little bit, makes more sense to us, all right? We are blessed. I think you understand what it means to be blessed. To be made happy. Does anyone not enjoy being happy? I mean, even if being miserable makes you happy, you still enjoy being happy. You just realize the path to making you happy is being miserable. Maybe you didn't follow that, but anyway, I don't either. But being blessed means to be made happy or to be made prosperous. Who is the man that is made prosperous? What is his, same outline here, what is his dependence? Well, the verse says, he that trusteth in the Lord. Trusteth, there's an ETH, so there's an idea of a pattern of trust in his life. There's a pattern of reliance, a pattern of dependence, and then a pattern of obedience. If I said the building is on fire, and you sat here, and you looked at me and said, I believe every word you're saying. I trust every word that you're saying. Anybody see a problem with that? No, because if you really believed, you would get off your butt and get out as soon as you can. Like, you would act on it. And when we have our faith, our dependence upon God and what He says, we will act on the things that He says. Even and especially those things that don't make sense to us. And the closer you draw to God, the more and more you'll see that God's way doesn't really make sense as far as humanly speaking. But then you'll have already begun your walk with God, and then you'll have some personal experience, and you'll say, no, I've experienced how God's way really is best, even though on the surface it doesn't make a lot of sense. His dependence is he trusts in the Lord. He's confident in God and what He says. But he also says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He hopes in the Lord. His assurance is in the Lord. See, the idea of hope is the idea of a knowing today what's going to happen in the future. And because God kind of tells us, you know, if you live this way, this is going to be your future. If you live this way, this is going to be the future. We place our hope in God. That means we believe that that is actually going to be the case. We're sure that what God said is going to happen is indeed going to happen. Psalm 71, verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. And I like this, from my youth. You can make this determination right now, and will have a great impact on your life. You will set your direction for your life right now, and it will have a dramatic impact. The blessed man's dependence is on the Lord. It's on what God says. And notice his depiction then. Instead of being like that dried up shrub begging for water, no, this man's going to be like a tree. Now, a tree is a lot more useful than a shrub. Think about that. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, depending on what kind of tree it is, there's a whole host of different uses for that tree. It's a specific kind of fruit tree. A specific kind of shade tree. A tree that produces a specific kind of wood. I mean, on and on we could go. trees are much more useful than shrubs. So this man's going to be a tree. His life is going to have some use to it. Some value, some meaning. But he's not just a tree. He is a tree that is planted. When something is planted, that means it's stable. It's not easily moved. It's not all over the map. I've known some people who, they live kind of by the seat of their pants, their emotions, their feelings, and you don't know what you're going to get from day to day. I mean, they're just big highs, big lows, big highs, big lows. You never know what you're going to get. They're not stable. And sometimes that can even go to the point where the world even says, oh, that person is not stable. Something wrong with them. And there is. So not only is he a tree, not only is he planted, but he has roots that are by the river. And the reason why the river is flowing through is that the ground underneath the river is fairly well saturated. It can't take any more water, so the water just rolls right across the top. So those roots are underneath there, and they've got plenty of water. All the water that they need. They're riverbed roots. And because of that, this tree is immune to the effects of heat and drought. It says there in verse 8, shall not see when heat cometh. That doesn't mean that it never gets hot. It just means that that tree doesn't feel the consequences of that heat because it's got water source. In fact, it benefits from that direct sunlight, that heat. And then it shall not be careful in the year of drought. What does that mean, shall not be careful? What do you think? If a tree could talk, and here comes the drought, what does it mean, shall not be careful, Anna? It's not worried like, oh no, I'm going to die. It's not worried. It'll be okay. Why? Because his dependence is upon God. Will not be careful when the year of drought comes. Not only that, but it says there in verse 8, her leaf shall be green. That means that our life and our reputation will be blessed. Other people will be able to look on. You know, you might not be a horticulturalist, but you walk by and there's a tree and it's full of green leaves, you could say, that tree's pretty healthy. You don't have to be a genius to walk by and it's like, you know, the middle of June and there's barely any leaves, and if there are any leaves, they're all brown and curled up, and you're like, that's not good. You don't have to be really smart to figure that out. But this man who trusts in God, he's got beautiful leaves. Beautiful leaves. Everyone can tell. His reputation and his life is blessed. And then, here's the clincher. The last part of verse 8. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. There's always fruit coming. Kind of like the tree in heaven that, I forget, I'd have to look up how many different fruits it bears, but it's constantly bearing fruit all the time. Normally if you have a tree, it bears fruit one little season of the year. The rest of the time is preparation for that. But continually bearing fruit. And of course you know the kind of fruit I'm thinking of. When I think of a person who is continually bearing fruit, their trust is in the Lord. Their trust is submitting to the Holy Spirit in their life. Their life is resting on Him, and the Spirit's just popping out fruit everywhere. They're exhibiting love, and here comes joy, and they have peace. And there's that annoying person. They have long suffering with them. They're gentle with people. They're good with others. They have trust in God. They could lash out at people, but instead they have a meek attitude. And their flesh, their self, is under the Spirit's control. They're Spirit controlled. They're temperate. Fruit's just coming out. How does that happen? Just because we wish it so? No, it happens when we place our trust place our trust in the Lord. My point to you today is this. You will choose to live your life in one chair or the other. You will choose to live your life in one chair or the other. And of course, you know, I'm not talking about chairs, but the idea of you will rest yourself either in what you think, what you feel, what your desires are, what your perception is, what you see that's going on. You're just reacting to life around you. By the way, this is our natural state. The way we are, this is how we are. Or we can choose with the Lord's help, with the Spirit's help, and we need His help. We can't do this alone. We can just depend upon God. There's some things that He tells us to do that, boy, I don't see how that's going to work out well for me. I don't see good coming from it. I kind of like to avoid it, but it's what God says, and I know that God's way is best. I'm going through this difficult time and trial in my life, and I feel like being over here whining and complaining and moaning and just like, I can't believe this is happening. Everyone that could possibly lend an ear, we're going to fill it with how horrible things are and how people are mistreating us. God's mistreating us because that's how we feel. God, why are you doing this to me? Or we can react with our, that way with our feelings, or we can respond saying, boy, things are not good in my life right now, but I know, I don't know how, but I know that God has allowed me to experience this for my good. See the difference? It starts with the knowledge that this is the reality in our lives, meaning like, this is the way it is. We're getting a little reality check this morning or this afternoon. Starts there. But then we have to actually put it into practice. We have to actually say, okay, in this situation, I feel like reacting in this way. If I had what I want in this situation, it would be this, but that's in opposition to what God wants for me. And so I'm going to choose faith over feeling. When you choose faith over feeling, there you are, as that tree, the beautiful tree that's stable and planted. It has everything it needs. And it's bearing fruit, it's causing benefit to all who are around. It's casting shade, it's bearing fruit that others may eat of. It just has so much good and so much blessing in his life that it's flowing over and affecting other people. I would like to live this life. I'd like to see you live that kind of life, because you'll be a testimony to the fact that what God says really is true. So what is it? What direction is your life going to take? What is going to characterize your life? Is it going to be feelings, or is it going to be faith? You make the choice. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. So very easy for us to fall into the habit of following our heart, living by our feelings, trusting in our feelings, depending upon the way we think, what makes sense to us, depending upon and making our choices based on what we want. So easy to fall into that. But we know when we live a life like that, we'll be characterized with this picture that we see that Jeremiah gave from you to your people. I pray that there would be some young people who would make a choice and a decision in their heart, determination, that they would ask you, that would plead with you, that you would help them to live their life, to make their choices and their decisions, not based on what makes sense to them, what they feel, what's more comfortable, but rather they would make their choices based on this one fact and truth, what is right, and what does God want me to do? And as a result, their life would be blessed because of it. Thank you for this picture. Help us, Lord, not to depend upon our deceitful, broken, crooked, sick hearts that we have, but that we would depend upon you. Bless the rest of our day, and help us even now in the moments ahead to make some choices, not just because we feel like it or because it brings some benefit to us, but because we know it's what you want us to do and what's right. And we ask this all in your precious name. Amen.